Morning to Proverbs chapter 15. No, we're not going to just pick up where we ended Wednesday, for what it's worth, but Proverbs chapter 15. And again, happy Father's Day to you all. Have to tell you that most of you know that years ago, I kept trying to honor, you know, the holidays and preach a sermon and with, you know, along the theme of the holiday. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day, whatever. And I have to say that all through those years, I felt real confined and real restricted by that. So now most of you know my habit is not to even yield much to any of the holidays, and I just preach what the Lord gives me. So just a little fair warning here. Some people get offended by that. If you're easily offended, well, help yourself. But this is not a Father's Day message this morning particularly. We'll see if we can work something in maybe. But Proverbs chapter 15, we're just going to read one verse here this morning. Thank you, son. Let's go down to verse 31. Proverbs 15:31. Says there, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Let's pray here. Father, thank you for a chance to be here this morning. Appreciate all these folks that came out. I know that it's vacation season. I know folks love being out of school and being able to get out of town and all those things. We are grateful for faithful folks. And we pray right now for a church up in St. Cloud, as Brother Caribou's up there now. We ask that you will bless our service here as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 31 says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." And I imagine that's one of those verses that you can say amen to and maybe pass right by it all along the way. You know, it's just one of those verses that maybe doesn't stick in your craw, doesn't ring in your ear particularly. You don't doubt that it's true. But let me ask you this, what does it mean when you get down to it? I got thinking about some things in it. First of all, let me point out to you, the ear that heareth the reproof of life. The ear that heareth. You know, there are few things more important in this life than who you listen to or what you listen to. My father-in-law died here a couple years back, and for the last several years of his life, he had lived and slept, including all night long, with his giant screen TV on all the time. The TV was never off, and was either tuned to CNN or sports. And I want to say that by the end of his life, my father-in-law could not recite you anything along any social lines, moral lines, or political lines, but what he had heard on CNN. That was it. One of the most important things that you choose is who you will listen to. You can tell a lot by what a guy listens to. You know that? The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God." Now, we know what that means. We know that when you choose to hear the Bible and what you hear there, you get faith from, and it's the right faith because it's the right source. But folks, faith cometh by hearing. If you hear the wrong source, you're going to wind up with faith in that source. It's just true. Now, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Let me talk to you about the wise for a second. I bet most people think that they abide around relatively wise people. I'm sure all those hippie flower children and so on back there in the 50s and 60s or whatever, I'm sure they thought they were hanging out with some of the most smart people in the world. I mean, cool, dude. You know, smoke a little dope, listen to those heroin addicts go on. And I'm sure they thought they were hanging out with wise folks, don't you think? I bet that when an enclave of scholars get together, they are assured that they are gathered together with some of the smartest people in the world. I bet your relatives think that they gather themselves together with their friends with some pretty wise folks. I mean, after all, nobody says, "Hey, what are you going to do Friday night?" "Oh, I'm going to go out with the same bunch of morons that I always go out with." You know, mostly folks choose their friends because they think that they have something to offer, right? Yet, you know, when it gets to a gravestone somewhere, there's an awful lot of folks whose lives could be summed up by saying, "Died among fools." It says there in the verse, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Now, let me talk to you about what I'm really going to preach to you about this morning. The reproof of life. Says there, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Now, The problem is most folks are altogether disinterested in reproof these days. I don't know if you've ever looked it up in a dictionary. You don't have to understand basically what it means just reading the Bible. After all, the Bible says, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The reproofs of instruction are the way of life. There is no real genuine instruction without reproof being involved. Let me tell you what reproof means. It means a blame expressed. Now, that's not what you get in an average church. You know what? Your problem is, this is your problem, and this is why it's your problem. It's your fault. It's your problem. Blame expressed. It says that one of the definitions is censure for a fault. You say, well, I have this fault. Yeah, it's your problem. It's your fault. You're to be censured for that problem, right? It's your responsibility. Well, I just want to say that that's almost a thing that's of the past now, right? And it says there in the verse, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. So there's two applications as I see it to the reproof of life. First of all, there is a reproof that giveth life, right? That comes from the Word of God. The Bible tells you what's wrong with you and then gives you the means to fix it, right? It's the reproof of life. He that gives ear to the reproof of life abideth among the wise. That's the way it should work. That is fast becoming a thing of the past. We're now building churches and Christian movements on making sure that we don't reprove anybody for their faults and their sins. But the Bible says that the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, application B. See, there is a reproof that gives life. Correct? But application B goes like this. Life itself reproves men. The ear that heareth the reproof of life. See, you go live your life, and I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to learn some lessons in that life, or you should, and life itself will reprove you. And the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Now, we know as Christians, folks, that there are things that you cannot apprehend or comprehend or know without the Bible. That's true. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. You look up in the sky at night and see the stars. And those stars tell you something about your God. But you're going to have to read your Bible to find out that He is a Trinity, that He is holy, that He is just, and you're going to stand before Him one day. Right? There are things you cannot know without having a Bible. You cannot know about hell without having a Bible, until you die, that is. You cannot know about heaven for sure without a Bible. You cannot discern salvation in nature. You cannot do it. But I will tell you this, life itself teaches certain lessons. And the reason that men don't learn those lessons is because they don't want to learn those lessons. Their ear does not hear those reproofs of life. But life itself reproves men. That's the point here this morning. I'm talking about basic brute creation. I'm talking about basic redneck, drunken, pot-bellied guys sitting around a bar, you know. There are things about life that they should learn, but they don't learn them because they don't want to learn them. The Bible says, though, that there are things you can learn without a Bible. And I want to talk about those things this morning. The title of this sermon is Life's Reproof. Says in verse 31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. I'm telling you this morning that for every lost guy that gets up out of bed, that life gets in his face every morning with its finger pointed at his nose and gets on him about some things. These are the things you can learn about life, the reproofs of life, without a Bible, but you will need a Bible eventually. Amen? First of all, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you the first thing that life teaches you. Irrevocably, it teaches drunken folks this. It teaches scholarly Bible rejectors this. And it teaches you that you don't live forever down here. You cannot miss that in life. You're an idiot if you miss that in life. There is no simpler lesson in life than to know that you do not live here forever. Right? You get on a school bus and go to school, chances are pretty good. The school bus will drive by a cemetery. Most of you get up and go to work somewhere. Somewhere along the way to work, there's probably a cemetery. You get up and read the paper and skip right over the obituaries, right? But you know it's in there. You see, even life's simplest lessons revolve around the idea that you don't live here forever. By the time you're 25, most folks have experienced somebody dying around them, somebody close to them. There are a few exceptions to that, I know that. I've known a couple of 40-year-olds that had never had anyone near them die. But most folks are not like that, right? And I'll tell you, folks, sometimes at a very tender age, right away in life, kids learn that they're not going to live forever down here. And you know, every time that happens, whether it be by an accident of some sort that strikes a young man or a young woman or some such thing, life is in that young person's face with its finger right up their nose saying, you know what, bud, you better learn some lessons. And the first lesson is, you don't live forever. That's one of life's first reproofs. One of life's first reproofs. The Bible says, it is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. You can learn the first half of that verse without a Bible. It is appointed unto men once to die. Now, you'll have to have a Bible to teach, but after this, the judgment. But every man, every lost redneck out there sitting at a bar this morning knows he's not going to live forever. Or he should know that. He may not be interested in taking it to heart, but it's true. Now, this is a reproof from life. It's a blame. It's a censure. Because men live life as if they will live forever. You know, young people are notorious for being flippant about important things and about feeling like they're indestructible, right? Young folks are famous for being dismissive of Bible truth, of being time wasters, energy wasters, opportunity wasters, right? We get on our young people about that. When I say young people, folks, I'm talking about, you know, kids that are 12-year-olds, but also kids that are 35-year-olds. I've known many a 35-year-old man that was still wasting time like a stupid teenager, right? Amen? One of the things that life teaches a man, one of the reproofs of life, is that you do not live here forever. Some seem to think that they will. I ran around with guys in college when I wasn't right with God. I just had a nephew here a couple months back that was tooling home from work and after a night on the town or whatever, and hit a dead pig in the road. They have feral pigs down in Texas. Some pigs got out, I guess, and bred and expanded and multiplied. And so now people are running over pigs instead of armadillos in Texas. I don't know what that is. But hitting a full-grown pig at 70 miles an hour, folks, does some damage. You know what life said that night to Logan? He said, you ain't going to live forever, bud. Better get that straight. Now, I believe that every nitwit that wakes up in the morning after a drunken bash on Friday wakes up with life in his face. And that life is saying, you are not going to live forever. You better straighten up, pal. Okay? That's one of the reproofs of life. You know, Alexander the Great died at 33 years old. We still talk about Alexander the Great today. He died at 33 years old. Some of the folks that the world idolizes these days die real early. Do you notice that? I mean, I grew up in a day of the Saturday Night Live crowd, you know, back in the bad old days. The Gilda Radners and the John Belushis, those guys are dead. Dead. Dead and in hell. There are a lot of older folks that think they seem to think they're going to live forever, too. They still, you know, they have their little, I like the pot-bellied bald guys with ponytails and you know, earrings. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, they think that they can still go party all night. They think they're still attractive to young women. I don't know where they get that from. But, you know, this guy's walking around with his pot belly hanging over his belt, you know, his little gray ponytail and earrings. And meanwhile, life is in his face saying, hey, moron, you ain't going to live forever. You better act your age, not your shoe size. Amen? I know, you know, you start getting 35 or 40, 45 or 50, I suppose. You start getting out of bed in the morning a little slower than you used to. And you know what? That's not a reproach, but it is life saying, you know what, pal? It's sneaking up on you. You're not going to live forever. You better get some things straight down here. Life itself teaches you that. You don't have to have a Bible to learn that. You need to get in the Bible to learn some other things, but you don't have to have a Bible to teach you that you are not going to live forever. Now, there's something else I wanted to say. And the second thing I believe that is worthy of attention with regard to life's reproofs is that life is a worthy adversary. Now, that's the nice way of putting it. The more blue-collar way of putting it is, life will kick your tail end. Ladies and gentlemen, life will kick your rear end. You know, it's deceptive, isn't it? You look around and somebody can find an excuse to justify living wrong. You know, it's too bad because old wrinkled up 6,000-year-old Hugh Hefner is still around. Last I checked, that guy is still alive. What a stinking reprobate. He should have died a long time ago, but don't worry, it's sneaking up on him. But Hugh Hefner is still around, and looks like the Rolling Stones are going to basically live forever because I think they petrified themselves with dope. Mick Jagger has to be 68 years old now, still going, you know, still going like crazy, and I don't understand all that. I don't understand why Bill Clinton's not dead. Wicked old Bill Clinton's still around, right? Most of you know some incorrigible old reprobates that you could name that are still around. I understand that. And sometimes that can be deceptive because they seem to be doing fine and they seem to be carefree. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that I know more of those reprobates that are dead than that are alive. Like I said, I grew up in the first rounds of Saturday Night Live and, of course, partook in it. Sorry I did, but Belushi's dead now and Radner's dead now. And by the way, Leonard Skinner's dead now and so is Jimi Hendrix and John Lennon and Rock Hudson. And a little bit closer to our day, you know, now Michael Jackson's dead. Elvis died. You know, in the end, I bet you can name more entertainment idols that are dead than you can name that are alive and young and doing well. Some of those idols that you look up so much to, kids, most of those guys that you know are sick, they are demented, they are addicted, they are infected. They are despondent. They do not live normal lives. They do not have normal marital lives. They are depressed. They are on dope. They are addicted. They are infected with disease. Every week it seems like somebody dies that's some famous guy. And yet, you know, folks still aspire to those things. Once in a while, you know, the world trots out somebody like Britney Spears a few years ago. They trot her out and say, look, here's a pure virginal type girl to be looked up to. You know, she's just having a good time, and this is what kids should aspire to. Well, you know, I don't know if you've checked or not, but that image has now been shattered. That girl is a broken wretch. You understand? And I'll tell you why. Because life will kick your rear end. It really will. Once in a while, somebody comes and sits in my office, some young guy, and he's, just about out of high school. And so he's going to go take on the world. The world is his apple. He has the world by the throat. And when he leaves, I always stop and think, man, kid, you don't know what you're getting into. This world is going to kick your rear end. And you know what happens? Usually, almost always, it does. It really does. I know guys my age that think they're indestructible. They think they can be self-indulgent. They think that they can be incontinent morally. They think that they can be undisciplined. They think they can do what they did at 18 and still get away with it. And you know what they learn? They learn they cannot. It's not just that they're too old to do it, but that many times that life will not allow them to do it. And folks, I'm just telling you that life will kick your rear end. You better be careful about not taking counsel, about making flippant, dismissive mistakes, because some of those mistakes you will pay for the rest of your life. I'm not talking about, yeah, I know that in 20 years I may regret it. I'm talking about you may lay awake a night every night for 20 years regretting it for the entire 20 years. I know people like that. Life will kick your tail. You don't need a Bible to teach you that, by the way. It's pretty obvious from some people's lives that that is exactly what happens. I'll tell you something else that I'd like to say. I'd like to say that one of life's reproofs is that you are not as in control as you think. Now, there are Bible examples of that. Pharaoh wound up not being as in control as he thought he was, right? Jacob and his mom thought that they were in control around the whole Isaac-Esau incident. Turns out they weren't in control at all, right? Israel thought they controlled their own destiny with regard to their idols and their gods. It turns out that was not the case. But life has its own lessons and reproofs, folks. You need a Bible to learn about Pharaoh. You need a Bible to learn about, you know, Jonah and Job and those guys. But you don't really need a Bible to learn that you are not as in control as you think. You You know, maybe the Titanic captain is the most famous of these guys. God himself could not sink this ship. That really, how'd that work out for you, pal? Right? Amen? I'll tell you, folks, you are not as in control as you think. Muhammad Ali thought he was in control. The Lord shut his mouth, did it not? Sometimes, folks, you learn that you are not as in control as you think you are. There were two guys. Now, I know that a ton of entertainers have sung this song, but there's a song that still sticks in my head from the old days. And it's called My Way. Most of you are familiar with that song, I think. I know of two guys that sang it. They're the ones that come to mind when I think of the song. One is Frank Sinatra and one is Elvis. Both of them are dead, as far as I know, in hell. They did it their way. Well, how'd that work out for you, pal? Right? You understand? You are not as in control as you think you are. Now look, maybe you're not cocky. Maybe you don't brag like Muhammad Ali. Maybe you don't get up on stage and prance around like Elvis did and say something stupid so that it comes back to haunt you. Maybe that's not you. But you ever been in a car accident? Now, I know some car accidents are situations where you do something stupid and you go, oh boy, here it comes. Ugh, like that. But some car accidents, things happen around you and you lose control like that and are not in control for the entire sequence of events, right? You ever get in that situation where you're helpless? And things spin out of control and you have no control whatsoever. That happens a lot. You ever had a relationship go like that? A friend? Maybe a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Where you thought you were in control, but it turns out that you weren't at all? Ever had a situation like that? You ever walk out, you know, after thinking you were in control of your day to find a leaky radiator and a flat tire and, you know, everything in the world goes wrong and life piles up on you? See, you are not in control. You think you are, but you're really not. You're really not at all. You don't control the weather, do you? It rained on my wedding. Yeah, well, it showed you weren't in control to start with, right? Amen. You are not as in control as you think. And every time you go out the door and something happens today that you had not planned on, that you had not written into the script, I tell you what, life has shown you. Life has shown you that you're not such a big shot. You are not as in control as you think. Something else to be said here. I want you to know that one of the reproofs of life is that life is ordered and by design. Folks these days talk a lot about chance. They talk a lot about luck. When I had my stroke, the doctors came in at $750 an hour. I said, well, what caused it? He said, well, you don't have high blood pressure. You don't have any cholesterol to speak of. You're not a diabetic. I guess it's just bad luck. I said, well, that's really comforting, doc. Here's your $750. Life is ordered and by design. The evolutionists believe that life is just one big cosmic accident. But that is not what a guy learns that looks up in the sky at night. You know, folks, the stupidest guy you know sets his watch by the stars that God set in motion. You do understand there are chemical laws that control our lives every day. There are physical laws that control our lives every day. Laws of friction, laws of gravity. All around us, birds and animals migrate and go in. We set our clocks by things that happen. You know, I think it was a month or so ago. I know I heard about it while I was still in the hospital, but I think it was some British scientists finally got some protein in a test tube that actually took the form of life. Okay, I mean, they didn't create an animal or anything, but they said that these proteins that they genetically put together, you know, went together, and that what's in that test tube is now life. And what this proves is that there's no God. Well, I hate to tell you this, but that proves just the opposite. If you put stuff in a test tube and made it, quote-unquote, live chemically, all that proves is that it takes intelligent design to make it work. You prove just the opposite. You prove there has to be a God. Life is ordered and by design. Folks, you go find a drunk, a big redneck, pot-bellied drunk, and even that guy knows that beer comes from a brewery, that it doesn't just come out of a rock, no matter what the advertisers say. This idiot has to know that somebody brewed the beer. It takes a design to brew beer. It doesn't just come out of a rock. Somebody is pulling levers, folks, and I'll tell you who that somebody is. God. And then the Lord allows the devil to pull some levers too, doesn't he? It's kind of funny because I like baseball. Some people think it's boring. I like baseball. But do you know professional baseball players are among the most superstitious guys in this world? What happens is, a real success in baseball gets a base hit 3 out of every 10 times. You are a great success if you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're still a great success because you succeeded 3 out of 10 times. And those guys get very superstitious. I mean, they're looking for order. They're looking for control, design. So if, they put on purple underwear today and get a hit, 4 hits or whatever, they put on purple underwear, the same underwear, unwashed, for the next 30 days, hoping that that will continue success. They don't step on the third baseline. They wear the same jewelry. They go through the same pregame sequence and all that stuff. That's all superstition. That's somebody trying to make order out of disorder. They're looking for God, folks. I tell you what life teaches you. Life teaches you that life is ordered and by design. Tell you something else that you don't need a Bible to learn, and some may not appreciate this, but you don't need a Bible to learn that sin costs and righteousness pays. The world will never tell you this. The world will never tell you that guys that wind up dying early in Hollywood and wrecking their lives and then dying and going to hell, they will not tell you that the reason that they wound up where they were was nothing but sin and self-indulgence. But I'll tell you this right now. Sin costs and righteousness pays. In the world, you can see it plainly. It's kind of funny, isn't it? We live in a country, the greatest country in the world. We live in a country of addictions. Everybody, it seems, is addicted to booze, addicted to gambling, addicted to porn, addicted to drugs. And so they all go off to these Hazleton-type places to get unaddicted or whatever. And yet it's funny at the same time that the very things that addict, when you're talking about booze or gambling or porn, nobody says, oh, that's wrong. We're the squares, aren't we? I don't believe in drinking, period. Period, period. I was a little disappointed to find that the breath fresheners have some alcohol in them. I knew I was getting a little high, but I'd go in and buy, a dozen of those little bottles of the squirty stuff. But no, I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding. I don't believe in drinking of any kind. I say, well, you're an idiot. You're just one of those Pharisees. You're a legalist. There's no way that drinking booze is wrong. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ, He made wine, right? Kind of funny, isn't it? All these people addicted to booze, and yet I'm doing wrong by laying off of it entirely. Isn't that strange? Folks, I'll tell you, the world teaches you, life teaches you, that sin costs and righteousness pays. And sin does cost you. Think of all the dead stars. I bet we could go down a list, guys. Those of you that were active and conscious in your teens, maybe the 60s or 70s or whatever, and all the entertainment stars, all the rock stars, all the country stars that died before they were 60. And lived like the devil. And you know what we learned? We learned that sin costs. Think of all the deviant entertainers. Think about, the Britney Spears that was presented as this virginal, pure person, who is to be copied by young girls everywhere. Look at the flap that she made, 3 or 4 years ago? What a bunch of nonsense. You know what happened? Her life got ruined is what happened. You know why? Because sin costs. It always costs. Think about the juvenile populations that we deal with. Think about the prisoners that we talk to. Think about the suicide rates. Think about the number of kids that are 12 and 14 now that are blowing their brains out or taking a bottle full of pills. Why? Why? Because sin costs. Sometimes it's the sin of the parents. We've now been told that, we've been told that AIDS is not the disease of the queers, right? Did you know that before it was known as AIDS, it was known as GRID, gay-related immunodeficiency grid. They had the name tagged to the right group before, but now they've taken the tag off because they're trying to justify the sin. It's not the sin that's wrong. It's not the sin that kills them. You understand? And so, I'm telling you folks, sin costs and righteousness pays. Next thing I wanted to say, you don't need to learn, you don't need to have a Bible to learn this. You need a Bible to expand on it. You need a Bible to fully understand it and to get an answer for it. But I'll tell you this, no man liveth unto himself. I wonder if you've ever thought about the number of wife beaters that beget what? Wife beaters. Strange, isn't it? The number of wife beaters that beget girls that are beaten by their husbands. It's a sad thing. How many crooks beget crooks? How many welfare bums beget welfare bums? I tell you, folks, no man liveth unto himself. No man dieth unto himself. You take somebody down with you. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. All you have to do is look at the welfare state these days. We have entire ethnic groups in our country that have been programmed to raise up kids just like themselves, and themselves are lazy, stinking bums. No man liveth unto himself. I don't know why somebody... It's Father's Day. Here's your Father's Day message. I don't know why guys become fathers and aren't willing to take the responsibility of fatherhood. Same goes for mothers. This is a late Mother's Day message. I do not know why mothers and fathers become mothers and fathers without being willing to bear the responsibility of motherhood and fatherhood. I tell you what you will do. You will turn your kid into somebody just like you. Because no man liveth unto himself. No man dieth unto himself. One last thing. I want to say that this life provides your only opportunity. Now, there are some places you can go. For instance, if you were a Hindu, you would be taught that reincarnation gives you some possibility of redoing this life over. You may come back as a rat or a shrimp or something, but you will have a chance in the next life to make something better of yourself for the next reincarnation, whatever. But I'll tell you this, this life provides you your only opportunity. The average guy knows, the average pot-bellied redneck lost knows that he gets one shot at this and that after he dies that his chances are all gone. I'll tell you, in this, life's reproof is true because you only do get one shot. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. All the decisions that you make in this life will either reflect or not reflect upon your eternity. You have no other second chance. There is no way to be reborn into something else. You have to make the best of what you've got. And you've got to get to know God in this life. You've got to get your sins right in this life. You have to make it right with your family in this life, or it will never, ever be right. The Bible says that there's a day of salvation, and today's the day. I don't know if anybody here is lost this morning, but I would urge you this morning to take an opportunity today. You may have another chance in this life. Maybe you won't. A lot of folks think they will, and then they don't, or they don't take it. But I would urge you this morning, if there's something the Lord's speaking to you about, to get some things right here this morning. You have a chance to get things right during one sequence of time. Before you know it, that sequence of time will be over. Did you know that I am almost 50 years old? I know some of you wouldn't believe that. I look at me in the mirror, I still see an 18-year-old. Who's this old guy looking back at me? Who's this bald guy looking back at me? I never saw him before. It goes a lot swifter than you think. I'm not being down and discouraged and depressed because I'm 50 years old. I'm not at all. I'm down, discouraged, and depressed because I'm ugly. But you don't want to get into this. But folks, I tell you what, kids, you're 13, 14, and you look at a guy that's 50, and you go, wow, what an old codger. Yeah, that's what I thought. And a guy told me that he knew what I was thinking, and I said, yeah. Listen, don't yeah me. before you know it, you will be 30. You're 15 years old, before you know it, you will be 30 years old. You will be married with kids. Before you're 40 years old, you may have grandkids. It's possible. Look at your brother Chris. No, just kidding. It goes faster than you think. And you think mistakenly that you have all this time to get these things right and to get these things focused. And, you know, you have a ton of time. That's what you thought about your school science project, too. And there was a day that you woke up and you went, oh, man, today's the day. I wasted the last 9 months, but it's due today. That's what you did then. One day you'll wake up in life and you'll have done that if you're not careful. You will look up one day and you will be 35 years old. And you will go, wow, John the Baptist was dead by now. And you'll be thinking stuff. You know, Alexander the Great was dead by now. John Belushi was dead by now. And amen, amen. Good, good. Because I tell you what, if you ever start thinking that way, you can know that life is teaching you a decent lesson. And I'll tell you what, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. You do not want to lay down and die amongst a bunch of morons. When you die, you want to be able to lay down in a grave and die having had some wisdom, some understanding. And life will teach you that. You don't have to have a Bible to learn those things, but you will have to have a Bible to learn beyond those things. And you need to know some things beyond those things. If you'll let life teach you some lessons, you'll be scared and wise enough finally to turn to the light, the Bible, that can teach you the rest of it. And that's what you need. That's what you need. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning for the reproofs of life. A lot of folks think they escape the truth by escaping the Bible, but they really don't. They only escape part of it, and they're still responsible for the things that God teaches us, even as the brute creation, even as lost, unregenerate people. And there are some valuable lessons, Father, to learn. I know that there's not all of them here on this paper in front of me. But I pray this morning, Father, that you will wake somebody up. Help them to realize that sin is not a game, that life is not a game, and that the way that they've been playing things and doing things in this life so far are sure roads to destruction. Father, we ask your indulgence here, your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed for a minute. Now, I don't know where you're at exactly. I can't pick any one single person out and figure that out. I don't know what you've been thinking. I don't know what your goals in life are. But you can know this. Any day that you have left here and having received a Bible lesson, have gone, you know, I think that guy was full of it. Maybe the guy was full of it. But you know what? If you'll pay attention, you will learn in life some lessons that you can't miss if you just wake up. You're not going to live forever. You're not as in control as you think you are. You're not indestructible. Would you listen to what life's reproofs tell you? Would you listen to what an experienced man or woman, an older man or woman can tell you and take them to heart because they're true for everybody? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do that today. If you need to come this morning, would you come? Let's grab a hymn book and turn to number 252 and stand. The altar is still open. If you're here at the altar, don't feel rushed in any way, but I hope you'll come if you still need to come. Number 252. here this morning that are Christians, I'll tell you what you can thank God for. You can thank God that the only reproofs in life you get are not lives reproofs. You get a lot more than that, don't you? You have a Bible. You don't have to get part of the picture. You have the whole picture. That is a blessing, folks. God explains things wonderfully. Number two. If you are still interested in getting on the pre-registration list for camp, you need to see me right away. I'm going to finalize some of that stuff. So if you need to see me, see me. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Brother Chris, would you close us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for bringing our pastor back to us. We thank you for giving him energy and strength, Lord. We pray you to increase his energy, strength, and stamina, God. We pray now, Father, you help each and every one of us here today to put these truths in our lives, God, to live according to thy will. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon, folks.